are back with Ann Canfield, Finding Strength today here at the Chill Factor once again. Ann is always bringing us amazing information, and she continues her series. This is part 4 of 5. How are you, Ann?
I am doing amazing. How are you?
I am great. I know you have such a beautiful voice to sing with. I love it. Keep it going.
Yes, I have a very high voice, actually. My vocal cords never grew. My mother drank during her pregnancy. So I actually have the vocal cords as like a 10-year-old little girl.
Well, I love it. But let's continue on.
A little trivia. So I am so excited to be here today and talking about the podcast series. We're at part 4 of 5. And it's mastering difficult conversations. This is such a topic that I think every single person can relate to, because we all know that moment where we're like, oh, I got to have that talk with somebody, and I just know it might not go well. And sometimes there might be that fear or that angst inside of us. And I just want to point out that some of that is because we are human beings first, and we honestly, nobody really wants to make somebody else feel bad. And that's kind of an important point for us to think about, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we don't want to make somebody be like, oh, I'm sorry, but I gotta hurt your feelings because I have to tell you something that you're probably not gonna like, because we think, oh, it's gonna be bad. They're going to feel bad. And then if they feel bad, then we're going to feel bad. And that's kind of sometimes what makes it difficult. And what I love about this series is we are creating these steps and giving you kind of some of these broad strokes and strategies that say, if we don't want you to make anybody feel bad. We want you to feel good going into the conversation, and we want you to feel confident. Because if we actually prepare for the conversation and we consider the other person's feelings, it would be less difficult. So I'm going to start by kind of just talking about kind of where we are in this series and recap what we've already taken care of. And the first part of this series, we talked about preparing for the conversation and recognizing of what is our intention, what is our objective in that conversation to prepare for it. And sometimes we might think, I don't even want to think about it because it's going to feel bad. But I want you to think about preparing for the conversation in a different way. I want you to think about preparing for the conversation as far as, what is my objective for the conversation, number one? And number two, recognizing that one conversation didn't get you there, and one conversation isn't going to get you out of whatever this situation is. There's probably going to be some follow-up. So preparing for it isn't letting you kind of think about like, okay, we're going to have this conversation. What is the investment that I might have to make afterwards to kind of build that trust and build that relationship? So that was our first one, was preparing for the conversation. Our second part of this series, we talked about seeking first to understand. And this is actually from Stephen Covey. It's actually habit number 5 of the 7 habits of highly effective people. And it's one of those things where we're looking to go back to this quote by Theodore Roosevelt. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So in the second part of the series, we talked about, how do we ask questions to open up the dialogue? How do we ask those what and how questions to not only gather new information, but truly understand how the other person feels about the topic that we're talking about and we're discussing? And in this part, we want to be able to be vulnerable and truly listen to what they're saying and open up our minds, recognizing that what we thought we were going to accomplish in this conversation might change. So I'm going to introduce you, as I've told you before, I've got my friend Mary, who is my little assistant. Everybody say hi, Mary.
Hello, Mary. Welcome aboard.
So Mary works at a hair clip factory. So during this series, we've talked about when we go through and we're recognizing that we've got a conversation that we have to have, there is the ABCs of behavior. And there's that one behavior that we have. And in Mary's case, you see, Mary works at a hair clip factory. Mary finds errors with the quality of the parts. So what Mary does is when she finds errors, she collects them. And when the employees are getting ready to leave or come on their shift, she likes to point out the errors to them and tell them the things that they did wrong. And she does it in a very pointed finger. Hey, by the way, Bob, you made a mistake here. Do you see that? You can't let that pass. That's not a good part. This is the behavior that we have with Mary. Mary's worked there for about 10 years. She's a wonderful employee, but this one behavior is not really working for us. And it has continued to get more exaggerated, and we've gotten some comments. So that is the behavior. So we talk about the ABCs of what comes before the antecedent, what comes before that behavior. And we've discovered that she's finding the errors. And so when we look at what is actually the issue, is it Mary having a harsh tone? But if we look at the ABCs, maybe it's the fact that she doesn't find the errors at all. If she didn't find them, then she wouldn't have to get upset about them. So A is the antecedent of what comes before. The B is the behavior. And the C is consequence. Because for every behavior that we have, there's a consequence that comes after it. And sometimes we think of consequences as very concrete. That I clean the dishes, I get clean dishes. I go to work, I get paid. But I want you to open your mind and the definition of consequences, recognizing that in Mary's case of the hair clip factory, she might be saving time in some way. She's solving a problem. She's very proud of the fact that there's less errors because of her. It's all because of her. The company's doing great because she's finding these errors. She gets attention. Or maybe the behavior that she's doing is getting ignored. So she thinks we're actually really happy. From Mary's perspective, she thinks she's doing such a great job. She's looking forward to getting a raise. And she might not even be aware that we're going to have a conversation with her to go, you know, we have a challenge, Mary. So we've used Mary as our example of kind of going through this process. Because we want to seek first to understand was our part two. Part three is to make our objective clear. So in Mary's case, we've listened to her whole story, and then we made our objective very clear. We said, Mary, we are so understanding and how you can get so frustrated because you're finding all these errors on the line, and you've explained to us regarding that it's difficult to do your job when other people are having errors that are escaping, because you know that it's important for our customers to get quality product. And you think that the training should be changed for the employees, and that might help the situation. We make our objective clear and we say, Mary, that's great, but here's what we can't have. We can't have it in the way that you're doing it. So we partner with her and we say, what can we do? Part four today is creating a lasting solution. How do we create a lasting solution with Mary? What does that look like? We create a lasting solution with Mary because we are from Missouri. Missouri is the show me state. And when we partner with Mary and we ask for her input, and Mary goes, well, you know, maybe the training could be better. We want to be open to that. We might know that that's not going to be an option, but that's not, the goal is to hear Mary out and to care about her feelings as well as what solving the problem is. So to create that lasting solution, we're going to hear her out. So you're thinking that we should change the training, right, Mary? What suggestions do you have on that? And then you have the ability to be able to say, yeah, I understand that, but the challenge is, Mary, is that the training that we currently have is actually already approved through our regulatory quality system. So maybe we can make some tweaks, but I'm not sure that is going to work. And then being able to say, what else do you have? What else do you think? And this is your opportunity to really listen to everything Mary has said, and maybe even yourself, since you have re-identified the problem of maybe you even coming up with something to create that solution. And what's really important about this process is if we are actively listening to this conversation, what started out as, I need to tell Mary to knock it off and not be so harsh. Just during the conversation with Mary, we've recognized the problem isn't her harsh tone. The problem is we need to reduce the errors that she's finding. And we need to, number one. Number two, we also need to find a way for Mary to recognize the errors, find the errors, but also do it in a productive way, of some way that would work for her, but also would work for the company. Because when we talked about the consequences, we recognize that Mary is very proud that she's finding errors. Mary is actually training staff. Mary has found a new way to socialize with people. So we might say to Mary and go, Mary, I'm really thinking about this. And it sounds like you really have a keen eye for quality for the parts. What would you think about working with our quality team and training you a little bit on some of the errors that you're finding or not finding? Maybe that would be an option. And we're kind of giving her and partnering with her on what the solution might be. We're not making a commitment that we're going to do it. Let me be very clear on that. However, what we are doing is we are partnering with her and we are thinking outside the box of how do we solve this problem. And we're solving it for the long term. Because what we do know is that whatever has maintained this behavior to make it last, we still need to maintain the new behavior and to tell Mary not to talk to anybody anymore and not to be looking for quality issues isn't going to be a good answer, right? Because either she's going to be like, oh, fine, I'll just let all the garbage go out the door. That's not going to be good for the company or the customers. And if we just say, well, just don't do that and go back and do your job. Because we recognize she's got some skill. Let's utilize that skill for the benefit of the company and the benefit of the customers. So that's kind of this idea of how do we actually think about the fact of opening up our eyes. And what I would say is to give you a little constraint on that, is just think about maybe two to three solutions. You're not making a commitment, but you're at least together with this person coming up with a few things of what it might be on the spot during the conversation. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Kathleen?
I absolutely think it's wonderful that the company's willing to work with her, definitely. Moving forward, we want to find out what Mary's going to do and what the company actually is going to do with her, what they're planning and placement. Sounds very interesting.
Exactly. And it kind of opens our eyes that when we are having those conversations with people, that we actually, again, when we go back to feelings, the angst that we have about that, instead of having the angst of, oh my gosh, this is going to be difficult, this now has just turned in to this conversation of partnering and helping each other out, working together and having a collaboration with somebody else. So to kind of recap, we are on number four. We've talked about our first part was prepare for the conversation. Our second part was seek first to understand. Our third one was making our objective clear. And now today we've talked about creating a lasting solution. So my call to action is that when you have that conversation, right on the spot, partner with that other person and say, by the way, really would like some input. Here's the challenge I have. What are some things that we might be able to come up with to solve this problem? You're not making a commitment to do it, but again, you're partnering with them so that you both walk away feeling good about this conversation and knowing that that person knows that you're a resource and that's a safe space for them to open up and that you will listen to them. So that is the part that we have today. And then next week, we're going to talk about building trust with follow-up.
Perfect, Ann. Well said. And thank you, as always, for coming on The Chill Factor and providing our audience here with such a great information. You are a book of knowledge. I love it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I look forward to joining you next week.
There you go. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye now.
You too. Thanks. Are you ready to master those conversation skills? Well, join me online for an interactive workshop with your camera and your microphone on. You will learn proven strategies and practice using your experiences to role play in a safe space to customize these skills to your personality. The great news is you no longer will avoid difficult conversations. Rather, you're going to have increased confidence and build relationship and credibility with each conversation. For the upcoming online workshop dates, go to my Linktree on Instagram under Finding Strength with Ann. Hope to see you online.